Satsang with Maitreya, January 5th, 2002.
Good morning, everybody. This is Maitreya. Welcome to the mission of Maitreya. This is the room to study Maitreya's teaching and God's revelation. And we are very glad that you came to our room and are with us. We will be here for the next 2 hours. We believe that we have answered to all your questions, and God has revealed a revelation that has come to humanity through this mission, explains the unification of our religions. If you have ever asked yourself why one God, so many religions, you will have your answer here in the mission. This mission is very serious. It's not an ego trip, or we are not here to kidding or anything. We are very serious about this revelation. The God's revelation has come to humanity, and if you go and study the amount of the prophecies is fulfilled, the revelation of the opening of the seven seals that has been mentioned in the scriptures will be coming to humanity has come. This mission indeed is the glory of God. It has come to humanity, and God again has come to earth to reveal to humanity that He truly exists. Actually, many people discuss all the time, does God really exist or not? And they don't have the answer. And then they come to the mission and read that He said He will do all these things, and He did them. They will not have any doubt that God indeed exists, does exist, and He is in the whole universe. But He is a spirit. You know, He is, He cannot just come here and say, here I am. He needs a body, a channel, someone who can come and bring the revelation to humanity. Therefore, He prophesied for a long time of coming of such a revelations and such a person or persons as many, the prophets have come to humanity many times. Actually, in Quran it says it's come there are around 124,000 of them, and but of course there are major revealer like people who found the religions of the world. And of course, there are minor prophets that have come for a specific reason, like Jonah came not just to warn the city that they have to return to God. And other prophets like Christ and Moses and Muhammad and Bab and Baha'u'llah who have come to found a new religion on earth. But this revelation is the culmination of all revelation before it, and it has also fulfilled all the prophecies that have ever, you know, foretold for the prophets to come. So if you see the sign, the uniqueness of this mission, the answers of being given to humanity, all will guide you and will let you know that truly God has come to humanity, and that this revelation has come to bring peace and tranquility and unity and the kingdom of heaven on earth, and nothing has been brought back to humanity. So you are very lucky that you find this room, you find God, you find this revelation. And of course there are many people, they have very little knowledge and very little want to put effort to find more about the mission, and they say things that is not true, and it will be very bad for them to oppose something which is godly. So for to them, we ask them to go and study our teaching, and do not jump to the conclusion, and as Christ said, search, knock, and ask, and you will find that this teaching is from God, and it has come to humanity to guide them to oneness that they need so badly, and bring the justice and unity that everybody wants. So, now you might ask, you know, what is the revelation that is so wonderful? The revelation, you can, if you go to our website, you enter the website, you will see a sign that we call it the greatest sign, which includes all religions of the world, and includes also, you know, signs from the Buddhist and Hindus teachings and religions, there has never ever been a revelation that included all previous revelations, including the mystical path, you know, Judo, Hindu, Judo-Christian, Islamic, Baha'i. Although they brought great revelation, they never really unified or brought the concept of the mystical path to the fold. But because this is the last revelation and unification of all revelation before it, it also includes the mystical path. And that includes, of course, all the religions like Hinduism and Buddhism. Now, if you look at that great sign, of course, it is a blue background in the beginning, and there is a dot, and then it spins to a I Ching and opens the lotusika, or the lotus in the middle, and then it continues showing different signs of different religions. The teaching is based on each religion has come to us with a specific revelation or point, and when you put all of them together, you will see the whole picture. Before the coming of the seven angels or these seven revelations, each religion had only a part of the truth, not the whole truth, and that is why there has been so much confusion and argument between them. Now God says, okay, I have seen all of them. You know, and each of them have a great meaning, and then you put them all together, you will see what is the exact meaning of the whole revelation of each of these religions and what it means when you put them all together. So, if the very arching in the bottom, it's about the awakening of the spiritual forces. That means meditation, concentration, chanting, dancing, whatever, you know, mystical people do to awaken the forces, and that includes all the religions that teach know thyself to know God, be still and know that I am God. And in this category are Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, the mystical path of Judaism, saints in Christianity, and Sufis in Islam, and all other paths that teaches the same thing, know thyself, to know God. So we can see that the very first sign unifies all these mystical paths together. And this mystical path, the teaching is that if you awaken to the spiritual forces, you eventually merge to God and become one with Him. And that is the goal of life. And God says that is not enough. Have to direct on energy, have to be awake on the forces toward the creation of the communities of life. Now, if you say, what is the communities of life? The communities of life is been explained in the Old Testament. If you read the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament is about God is trying to find a people for Himself. He's called the 12 tribes of Israel, and these 12 tribes of Israel are supposed to accept God as the king and follow His laws and become His children and chosen ones. And therefore, the next step in the path, in the eternal divine path, in the greatest sign, is the creation of the communion of life. And the whole greatest sign, of course, explains the eternal divine path. Therefore, the whole communion of life is based on the eternal divine path. And therefore, creation of the communion of life is the next step in the our explanation, which is the Old Testament or Hebrew revelation and teaching. And we can see in that book, the whole idea is to create a community based on God. Therefore, the next step is, okay, how to create a community of life? Okay, you want to create a community of life, but what is a community of life? What is the eternal divine path? How you can put these things all together? The next step is, in order to create a community of life, sacrifice is necessary. In a community that everybody says, what is it in me for me, and what is it in for me, and you are not going to follow God's will, then the separation will start, and of course, it will not become a community of life. Therefore, we can see that The next step is sacrifice that is brought by the Christ. Christ went all the way to the cross for his ideal, and he was crucified and said, greatest thing a man can do is, you know, to die for his friend or his, you know, fellow man. So, or love your neighbor as yourself. All those things is to don't be self-centered. Don't only think about myself, me all the time. Okay, the moment you do that, of course you're going to become egoistical. The ego is the only thing actually disconnect you or is in your way to receiving God's grace. Ego is like an umbrella on your head. You know, you can hold that up and the grace of God will not come to you. So we can see that the next step in the eternal divine path is sacrifice, and that is Christianity. The Old Testament, the New Testament, also included in this teaching, and that was the message. That was one of the messages of Christ, teaching to teach in order to create the comings of life. You should not become self-centered and egoistical. And now you sacrifice a lot, and nothing happens in the community, and community of life are not forming. What happens? You become very discouraged and say, why am I doing all these things? Nothing is happening. That's again ego. It comes in and then it depresses you, and you are not willing to see you, that it's not yet you are the doer. God is doing, and you should not be attached to it. God takes his time. God's timing is different than human timing. Human timing is very short. We want everything now, instantly. Instant coffee. We want it now. It should be here now. We can't wait to brew the coffee. And but what happens if you brew the coffee and do it very slowly, and you have what, a better coffee? Okay, it's better coffee than the one. Yeah, of course, I don't drink coffee myself, so I'm just it's an example. That doesn't mean I drink coffee. And so you can see God takes his time. It brews things. It puts them in the heat. It is when it's ready. He says, okay, now it is ready. It can be manifest, and it will. If it is his will, it will manifest. If it is not in his will, it's not up to me and you to judge, you know, what is godly or what's not. But the only thing, he gives us enough information for us to judge. But when he brings something and we saw it is godly, then we cannot judge him because he's God. I can just like a fish wants to judge a human. Can fish judge human? They can't. They have a very small brain and they live in the water. They even don't know what kind of a condition they live in. So it's very hard for us to judge, but he sends all the information we need to be able to choose correctly. Anyways, so the sacrifice is, when the sacrifice and we become depressed and all that, because the attachment is a result of action. We want the result. Human loves to see the result. Okay, we do things and we want to resolve right away. That's why the next step is to surrender the result to God and say, okay, I did my work, I did all this job, but if it's not happening or happening, it's God's result, it doesn't belong to me. But even greater than surrendering the result is submission. It means that you realize contemplate that God is doing it through you. He is the real doer. God is everything. Therefore, he is the doer, and if he's his doer, then who are you to, be attached to the result of the things that you haven't done anyway, and therefore you can be free of the attachments which come from the expectation for the result, and expect the result, but don't be attached to it. I don't mean, don't expect any result, of course. You do things to get the result, but don't be attached to it. Of course, that is the teaching of the Islam. Islam comes from the word taslim, means to be surrendered and submitted to God. And that is the really meaning, and the message of Islam was to surrender the result to God or realize that God is doing it through him. In all these four steps, awakening of the forces, directing the energy to the creation of the comings of light, sacrificing and becoming surrendered and submitted to God, still the narrowness of the mind, might exist, and you might direct all your attention to a very small part of the universe, and that normal mind, of course, can be also suffering. So, the next step is universalism. Universalism means that you realize God is everything. He's the Father and Mother God, and all the creation are His creation, and He is everything in the universe. You cannot separate any part of any another part. The moment you do that, you don't realize God. Therefore, you can say, well, this religion is good or that religion is not good, these people are good, these people are evil, and separate between religions and genders and race and nationalities and all that. If you do that, of course, you're separating God from God. You can do that. If you do that, you are not seeing that God is everything. Therefore, we all are brothers and sisters in God, and there is no separation between us. And if you separate anybody, then you cannot realize God is everything. So we can see that next step is Baha'i teaching, that it comes to us as the God. Their teaching basically says that our religions are the same, and they have revealed the same message. Therefore, we have to realize the message what it is. But a lot of people comparing us with Baha'i teaching and say, oh, you are doing the same thing. No, we don't. We don't say hey, all the religions are the same. We say actually each religion had a specific message for humanity, and it's not the same of the Baha'i teaching. Baha'i teaching is about the part of God's revelations, and the people who brought that religion also fulfilled the prophecies that have been told about them. Therefore, they are legitimate prophets of God, as was Prophet Muhammad, who also fulfilled the prophecies, as Christ was the one that fulfilled the prophecy, as the Moses and all the other prophets came with the same background and with the same fulfillment of the prophecies. So, fulfillment of the prophecy is the way you know if the prophet is correct or not. So that's not that everybody can come and say, yeah, I have a revelation, I know God, I'm a teacher. No, you can't do that. If you follow those people, you know, they are not from God. The only person who is from God is the one who fulfills the prophecy. If you have not fulfilled the prophecy, run away very fast and go to the scripture and see what God said about the truth. Therefore, we also include the Baha'i teaching. So you can see the eternal divine path, which is the five step, awakening of the spiritual forces, directing your energy toward the creation of the communities of light, whose communities of light is the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. That is so important. The communities of light is the focus of this mission, to create communities of light all over the world. Therefore, we can bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, that peace and unity and tranquility that all of us really want and desire, and nobody knows how to do it. And this is what God is saying. That's how it's done, okay? By creation of the commons of light. And then in commons of light, sacrifice is necessary, which is the Christianity, and the next step is the surrenderance of the seed. After the results, or let the God do it, which is Islam, and becoming universalists, which is the Baha'i teaching, going through that five step, you become an elect. You become the son of God. You become a person that a dynamic spiritual force on earth, and you become the new leaders for the humanity, to guide the humanity to the next step of evolution that we are approaching very fast. That people, some people call it the golden age, and some people say the kingdom of heaven on earth, no matter what you call it. In that age, many people will progress and will reach full consciousness and will go to the highest level of spiritual realization. Next step of the elects are the six seal that you can see there. It's actually, if you see the six seal is very similar to the second seal or the Star of David. The Star of David means the kingdom of heaven on earth. The six seal means the kingdom of heaven within you. And if you're in the middle of the greatest sign, another triangle upward, triangle downward, the Star of David is in the middle, and that is the kingdom of heaven in heaven. So, we have the kingdom of heaven, and heaven is all established. We should create the kingdom of heaven on earth. We will do that when many people will create the kingdom of heaven within themselves, which is the sixth seal. And these people will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and many people reach pure consciousness or ultimate realization, or the seventh seal, which is the mission of Maitreya and our teaching. And you can see in that sign that the Tosfika, you know, opens up, and the seventh seal becoming the image of the center of the greatest sign. The center of the greatest sign is God, and therefore in the seventh seal, the seventh sign also become in the image of God as God had created us in the beginning. But of course, because we failed, we are no longer in His image. We have to return back to His image again and become one with Him and manifest God qualities. That's the basic of our teaching. We recommend all of you go to our website and study our teaching. This is the call to humanity. It is something very serious. Your soul is going to be kingdom or is not going to be reincarnated. That is as simple as that. If you understand the teaching, if you are an elect, if you come and you saw the teaching and realize, yes, God is calling that to come and join this revelation and create the kingdom of heaven on earth, then you become an elect. You will be one of the ones that will be incarnated in the next lifetime. But if you resist it, you insist now it is not true, then you are not going to be an elect, and you know, I'm afraid you will not be incarnated for a long time, and you will not reap the fruit that you know that it is available to everyone. So it is a very serious matter here. Think about it very carefully, and realize that this mission is very serious. It's the last revelation of God to humanity. And the evolutionary process of the next step has come. It's not an ego trip. I'm not in an ego trip at all. I direct you to see the prophecies of the scripture. No other person on earth can claim the prophecy that has come to this mission. Nobody can say that they are from the lineage, from the same prophets. No prophet ever had both of them lineage come to them. And the teaching, if you see the teaching and see the revelation and see how wonderful it is, you know, you really don't need the rest. But if you need the rest, go study and you will see it is from God, and you will believe, and He will answer all your questions here at the same time. You know, your question cannot be answered. Explain God. You know, I can explain it in a very wonderful word, but still it is the intellectual way of explaining God. You know, I can show that the way to get to God, okay, and that's eternal divine path. But would you get there? It's up to you to walk it or not. It is your choice. Every human has the choice to accept our teaching, to follow eternal divine path, and see reap the fruit, or they resist it and say, "No, I'm not going to do it." Then I can't help you. That is the wonder about humanity. They have free will. You have a free will to follow God or not to follow God. But if you want to follow God, that is the path. The path is eternal divine path. I hope all of you have gone to the website, the study or teaching, and you have a lot of questions related to the teaching and how it's led to other religions. And if you are here to, you know, preach your teaching as it was in the beginning, it's going to be wasting our time and your time. Go ahead, Buffalo.
The path that you're teaching is the only one. And that kind of throws me just a little bit. Am I correct in that statement?
The path that you're teaching is the only one. That kind of throws him a little bit. Is he correct in that statement?
Yes, it is. Not a lot of people say everybody has their own path, and that is true. There is an individual path that you can find, help every individual. But there is a collective umbrella that everybody can fall into it and be a part of it. That is the eternal divine path that we teach here. You meditate on economical forces. How do you meditate? It's different for different people. Some people like formal meditation. Some people like go fishing. Some people like to drive a car. Some people like to garden. Okay, so how you do meditate is individually, you know, can be, you know, designed or followed with each individual person, and they have that choice. But after they meditate and they awaken, the forces direct that energy toward the creation of the community of life, and the community is very important to create and bring the base of the kingdom. And that is where your room is going to be in community, what you're going to do in the community, what kind of talent you have, you can share into the community or bring your energy to the community and make it a better community. Again, it's an individual choice. You have the way to do it. Sacrifice, how much you're going to sacrifice, how much you're willing to, you know, give to the community, how much you're willing to, you know, participate. These things are individually can be followed, but overall umbrella is the eternal divine path. After you are in the community and you sacrifice for the community according to your capacity, then of course you have to realize that, you know, you are not attached to the result of your action. You surrender action to God, or you realize God is doing it through you. The eternal divine path helps you individually in your path. It is the umbrella of who you are. Okay? You cannot completely restrict everyone to do the same thing and all that. No, you have your individuality in the collective eternal divine path. So it is true, each person have a way to do things and the life and lifestyle and their capacity, but the eternal divine path is the umbrella over all these. Go ahead, Silen.
I want to say it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you, good to know you. I also wanted to say I agree with the teaching, that there are basic principles. My question is that there are 144,000 of us that understand this as excellent teachings. I think my question is that you, what I'm asking is you're saying you're the one because you have put this all together, but you're not the only one that put this together, my brother. There are others here as well, which are of the same information, bring the same information, teach the same information. I'm just curious what you're saying on that.
Yes, there are 444,000 people will understand this teaching, see the truth, and will come to the mission and join me in bringing about the community of life, creation of the community of life, and helping to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. But not all of 144,000 have fulfilled all the prophecies and have the unique situation that God has given me as the focus center for these people. And they will see me as their rallying point to come together and bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, these people are elect, and they actually, it is been saying that the guru comes when you already know. or of course, I'm not saying I'm a guru, but the teacher comes when you already know most of the things he is going to teach you. And that is why the people who are in the mission, they all tell me, from my childhood, I was different. I couldn't understand my religion. I had a feeling of, you know, there are truth in other religions. You know, and all my family was very upset about it because I couldn't stay in their, you know, dogmas and religion. They teach me, I wanted to know more. And they have, and most of them have been in many religions at the same time. Either they are Christian, they have gone to become a Muslim and then become Baha'i, or they were Jews and they were interested to study about Christianity, and they, you know, eventually came to the mission. So some of them had the idea that if there is one God, how can there be so many religions? They were very different than the people around them, and then when they see the teaching, it makes sense to them. Actually, that's one of the reasons I was amazed when I received this revelation, how much it makes sense, how logical it is, okay? So we can even reach the people that are logical, okay? The people that are not emotional. A lot of present religion on earth based on emotions and culture and tradition of the people they are born in. You know, they really haven't gone and studied and educated, you know, and researched about the religion. I didn't know much of the religion You know, the only thing they know is preacher told them this is the way it is, and they say, yes, that is the way it is. And most of the people who come to the mission and see the revelation and love it, they are not the follower of the preachers, but the follower of the truth. They are searchers. They have already known many parts of the teaching as you said it. But when they see this, they said, oh yeah, this makes sense. And Mathura has fulfilled the prophecy. Therefore, he is the sender of this revelation. I am called for this mission. I have a mission, but I haven't fulfilled the prophecy. I'm here to spread the light, but I am not the light itself. As some of my disciples were telling me that they have been commissioned to spread the light, but they don't believe they are the light themselves. As John the Baptist also said, you know, he is here to spread the light. But what is the light? Light is the first revealer of the revelation, which is connected in a greater degree to the source. So if you accept the prophecies and if you see those prophecies are correct and this person is so unique and the teaching is so true, then you say, okay, I know a lot of what you teach, it makes sense, but I am here also to spread this truth and wonder, and I like to be a part of the process. Then we become brothers, we become co-workers. Then we get together and say, okay, what do you have? What kind of talent do you have? What can you do? And then we have 2 Maitreyas, 3 Maitreyas, 10 Maitreyas, 100 Maitreyas. We can have 144,000 Maitreyas on earth, and we can accomplish this truth and spread it to every corner of the earth and bring peace and unity to humanity. Go ahead, Buffalo.
Okay. You answered my question before I could ever get it out. Thank you very much.
You answered the question before you could ever get it out. Thank you very much.
Isn't that wonderful? Actually, there are a lot of questions that are asked. I've heard in other rooms. I wish they would have come all here and we could have answered them, because all of them have answered. There's one of the questions that has been brought up to me, and I told me a lot of people ask, does any God exist? That's a question, a lot of people are asking, and there's a lot of discussions been there, and does really God exist, and in this teaching, in this revelation, you will see God says he's going to do this thing. So he's going to send a prophet from Ishmael, he's going to send a prophet from Isaac, and he does it. He says he's going to open a 7 seals, a revelation, a book sealed with the 7 seals, and the 7 angels will come. He has. Does God exist? Can you doubt that now? We can't. We can say, yes, God exists. God is consciousness and is with us all the time. Go ahead, J.F. Yeah, well, I wish you would come to the microphone. As we said, we're not going to accept any text question. But it's a good question. I'm going to go ahead and accept it. Okay, the question is, if God is everything and future already exists for God, how come there is free will for human? Are they out of unity? Please explain. Well, future known to God to a degree. Free will can affect the future. Therefore, if today all humanity come to say, yes, Maitreya, you are right. These are religion have come from the same God. How can we not see that? It is so simple. There is one God. How can there be so many revelations? Okay, let's do it. We are going to create communism, but tonight we are going to create a hierarchy from these communities. We are going to have the kingdom of heaven on earth tomorrow. As that simple as it is. So the free will of humanity affects the future of how things will manifest and come to be. And therefore, also God knows where he is going. He knows he's going to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. The free will affects his plans. Okay, it's not written in a stone. It can be done tomorrow. It might take 20 years. Of course, when human does not, see, you have the free will, but you don't have the result. Your free will makes the result what it will be. You have the free will to choose the wrong path, but where you are going to go is God's choosing. Okay? God has already shown you the straight path, the straight arrow, where it will go. If you follow the eternal divine path, I guarantee your salvation. Okay? You will go to God. If you choose not to follow eternal divine path, if you choose to hang up into your dogma or your tradition or your religion or anything that it prevents you from going to God and follow eternal divine path, I can guarantee you that you're not going to go to God. Okay? It's just as simple as that. So you can see that you have the free will to choose. But the result, actually, that is the law of karma. If everybody could predestine, why do we have the law of karma? Everybody should be like a robot, do exactly what God told them to do. The law of karma is you have free will. You can choose be bad. But then you're bad, don't expect you can go to karma. Okay? Don't expect God to be nice to you. Okay? You have it. Therefore, the free will shows what the result of life. Of course, if this time is the time of sundry. That's what God said. When the seventh angel comes, it is the time of sundering. It's finished. The time is done. It's gone. He has given all of you enough time and lifetimes to correct yourself and come to follow the only one path easily. If you have not, and you reach to this point, and you will not do it, therefore, now is the time your choosing will result to what he has already said. Either you go to the kingdom, or you go to other way, of course, the symbolic is hell, but the hell really means ignorance. Ignorance means not knowing the eternal divine path and God's revelation and unity of all humanity, and that God sent all this revelation to man. So we can see that the man has the free will, but the result belongs to God. He will choose what happens to you according to your choosing. We do not believe in predestination. We believe the more the closer you come to God, the more you will become predestined because you lose your choices. Okay, the farther away you are from God, the more choices you have. But of course, you are not close to God, so choose your path. So it is the way it works, and that is wonderful about humanity. They have the free will, and if you go to God with the free will, then that is wonderful because God says, okay. You have other choices, but you choose me, and God is very pleased. Go ahead, Buffalo.
Okay. Now, in some version of the Bible, King James, whatever, when the angel opens the seventh seal, there's silence in heaven for a half an hour. I know this is symbolic. It's not the only thing that I haven't been able to get my head around. Has that happened? And if so, what was it? Because I sure must have been asleep when it did happen.
That's a good question. Yeah, it has. Well, as I said, only God knows the exact timing of the thing that will happen. But if it has happened, for the last 20-some years, mission has been on Earth. But it's been very silent, and it was very quiet, and it's not reaching out anybody, but very few people saw it, and other people came and foretold the coming of the Maitreya in 1982, and we didn't know about them, and they didn't know about us, and in 1982, we were the only Maitreya reached out and put the outreach of the mission to humanity, and advertising all over the magazines and places like that, but very few people showed up. Very few people come and join us. And the reason was that they were the people they were called to be the first fruits, and they came and they helped a lot in the mission. They got a lot of things done. We were in the preparation. Actually, I thought they're done with the mission and they're ready to go until 2 months ago, a brother came here and brought more revelation to us that we even didn't consider that as a part of this mission. And so the mission is still building up, okay? And it has been building for 20 years. Can we say that 20 years, but that half an hour of silence? And now we are reaching to Calcutta and more people are hearing about us, and that's why we are prosecuted even in a greater degree. And a lot of people come and say, you know, many, many things that they said to Christ and every other prophet that come to humanity. There has never a prophet came to humanity that they never prosecuted. They weren't thrown a stone at. They were crucified or shot at. You know, Bob, you know, was shot at and killed. Christ was crucified. Prophet Muhammad was stone thrown at him. Okay, but this time God is very smart. He created the internet so I can say whatever I want, and they can't get their hands on me. And so that is also prophecy fulfilled, that many people will hear him, and probably soon they can even they also can see me in my tape. That I mean, you can see that they can. But they are prosecuting, and they are saying things that is not true and not correct, and I'm very concerned about their soul. Anyway, so answering your questions, we believe maybe that is, as I said, God only knows those answers in a deeper level, but we believe that that happened over was that 20 years that we were very quiet, and we are now reaching out to humanity. Go ahead, Luke.
In Revelation, you think that when one overcomes, one will be crowned with 12 powers. What are those 12 powers? Would you please explain?
With what? 12 common powers that you can crown with when you overcome.
Yeah, well, there are the CDs, there are what is called CD in the other teachings, in especially in Hindu philosophy, and there are many, many things, and some can hear from miles, some can, you know, shoot an arrow, or some people can heal. There are many, many manifestations. 12 is really the umbrella of those powers. But we do not emphasize the power, gaining power by meditation. Actually, that is very much discouraged to meditate for gaining powers. And even if you gain powers, it's good to use them for the good and of the community and humanity, and use them only to advance the creation of communities of light and the following of the eternal divine path. So the gaining power is not the goal of meditation, is not the goal of this mission at all. Actually, those people, they gain power, they lose a lot of other spiritual beauty, and therefore they will not be following the eternal divine path, but that might lead to the ego trip and bring a lot of people to the path that is not from God, and they will fall for that little miracle that that person can do, or little power that has, and they will not see the message. The message is the eternal divine path, and that is what everybody should concentrate on. And if in the process they gain power, they should not become attached to it at all. And actually, I used to tell them a story in the beginning when I started meditating in 1973 or 4. I was in Pennsylvania, and I started meditating. After a month or two, I could tell the people's actions, present, what they did in the past, what they're going to do in the future, and how they're going to the future be, and all that. And of course, that time I was a student in the university, and I had a lot of friends, and they know me. They would invite me to the parties and all that, and I start telling them, you know, what they did. So I became the center of the party, and I loved it. It's just all the attention was on me, and you know, and all that. And they just said, "Yeah, well, how do you know that? How did you told this and to me and all that?" And so I enjoyed it very immensely that I could do that. But 2 months later, I lost the power, and I was miserable because everybody left, no attention, no anything, and everybody said, "No, well, I was, you know, it was just our fake," but it wasn't. So it was my state of being later was even worse than it was before. And that was was a good lesson for me, given that time that powers are not important, and you might misuse the power, and they do. How many 800 number or psychic number do you know that you can call and they tell you about things? And even in the Bible, it clearly says, you know, when the Saul asked that sorcerer to summon the spirit of Samuel, you know, Samuel was very, very angry for what he did, and actually he was cursed because, but she had the power to do that, okay? But God said, it's not good. So powers are not good, we should not work with the powers at all. If they come to us, fine, just meditate on them. Actually, if I come to me again, I just do it back to the universe, say, thank you, I don't want power, I want God. You know, it's just like a little child that's making a lot of noise and is crying. And what you do, you give him a little toy to play with. If he plays with the toy, what happens? The mother goes to do whatever they want. You want. But if the child throw the toy away and say, no, I don't want a toy, I want you, what the mother has to do? The mother has to pick him up and hug him and kiss him and give him a lot of loving and whatever he wants. So that's how it should be with God. If God gave you some power, say, no, no, thank you, I don't want a power, I want you. So the powers can become an obstacle in your path to God, and the goal is not to gain power, but to go to God. Go ahead, Buffalo.
Okay. I was reading a book, and it was called the Magdalena book. It's called Magdalena. And in that book, I understand that Jesus did not die on the cross and that his body is buried in India. And the Pope knows of this, and so do a lot of other people. Am I way out of line here?
Okay. Well, the story about Christ, you know, crucifixion is very controversial, you know, matter, and they have many stories and belief on it. You know what happened? You know, some people say he was crucified, and of course he rose. Some people say he was crucified on Friday and was raised that Sunday morning. Other people say, how can it be? He said, I'm going to be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. That makes him, he's going to have to, you know, come out of the, you know, grave in Monday evening, not, you know, Sunday morning. And some people say, well, he really was crucified in a special Sabbath, which was Wednesday, and therefore he was crucified once, I mean, he was completely passed away around 6 p.m., therefore he rose in Saturday at 6. Rosicrucian said no, he was not dead at all, he was alive, and then they brought him back, you know, down from the cross. And probably that's the reason they added in the Bible that somebody pierced him and made sure he's dead. After they realized that Rosicrucian say that, probably somebody added that to the Bible, make sure that, yeah, he was sure by that, because the water and the blood came out of it. And so in Islam, you know, Prophet Muhammad says he wasn't dead. It seems to them he was dead. But of course, our explanation is, was, of course, nobody dies. You know, you can't kill anybody. You know, as Bhagavad Gita says, there is no sword can touch the soul. No. The man who kills, the person who is killed, if they either one think they're killing or they're killed, they are incorrect. So, what is the truth of his, and also, of course, some people say, no, he was not dead, he went and lived somewhere else for another 40-some years after crucifixion and went and guided his disciple from where he was. Of course, you say he was probably in India doing that, and after that he was, you know, buried there. So it's very controversial. Even some people say he didn't even exist, because there is no historical, you know, records of really it exists. Some people say yes, it was because some historian have mentioned his name, and some people say there is material in India in a monastery in there that it talks about Christ that was in India and eventually went to Jerusalem and crucified, and the record is there. So there's a lot of things is related to him, which is very hard to decipher what was the truth. The truth is that most important is, what did he teach? You know, what was his message? What did he brought to humanity? Was he crucified? Wasn't he? Was he dead? Did he go to India or went to Palestine or the state or even came to Europe or whatever? Is that really helped me in my spiritual progress to God? The answer is probably not, because it doesn't make any difference. The most important is, what was his message? And if he understands his message, the rest just fades away and it's not important to us at all. But it is a very, very controversial topic, and there are a lot of opinion and ideas about it. Go ahead, Buffalo. It's up to date.
Okay. I stand corrected. I had forgotten, and thanks for reminding me, that is the teaching is what is important.
Yeah,
so much is exactly what happened. Now, I understand that the so-called end times, or whatever anybody wants to refer to it as, they're at hand, they're here now, and the same thing that Lot and his wife, Noah, Moses, Jesus, is all the same thing. It's all the same play with different characters that are ready to accept the same roles, but the play is the same. How does that sound?
It doesn't sound good. I guess you have to explain a little bit more, you know, what you mean exactly. Can you elaborate on that?
At the end of every age, at the beginning of every age, now I can only tell you, as I understand it, or as has been explained to me, there are seven sages that meet, and they lay down the plan for the age. Okay, now for the Aquarian age, which we're stepping into now, I think we stepped into it quite a long time ago. Moses, there is one or two that are chosen to lead the way. Lot and his wife were one. Moses was one. Noah was one. A so-called Savior, which they all deny, which is perfectly acceptable to me, and I understand that. And the play is the same. Most of mankind are those that are sleeping in the dark, naysayers, whatever, want dead, want those leaders dead.
My question is, why God needs seven persons to make his decision for him? One of the things probably you will see as if you're saying the mission is, we believe there is no medium between you and God. There is no kind of a being that makes the decision for him. God and man, that's it. You have the ability to go to him directly. And in his scriptures, it clearly says that he will prophesy a person would come, and then that person comes and fulfills that prophecy and brings a new teaching or complete the teaching before it. There are a lot of other explanations that I have not seen those explanations in the scriptures, but it's made by man, okay? And those explanations appeal to a lot of people, like a book of Urantia, That is one explanation. The hierarchy, the divine brotherhood, the brotherhood of light, or the one you just explained, or Rosicrucian. And many, many, many people have different explanation how God makes the decision. And even they create separation between man and man. Because say, well, I follow the book of Rashiya, my book is better than people who follow the, you know, the hierarchy of the white brotherhood. Therefore, we here completely go over all this explanation and say, no, there is nothing between you and God. You can reach God by meditation and through understanding. And God makes his decision, and he is the person who brings out this revelation. And also what this explanation of the come, just the one like the one you said, it is not in the scripture. Where in the scripture says that seven people make the decision? These are the explanation of some people with a good imagination that they have created it. There might be some truth in it. I'm not saying it's completely void of truth, but the most important is, again, would that help us? It won't, because it creates again any separation. In this mission, we try to be as unseparated from one another as possible. Go ahead, Baba Lord.
Okay, yeah, I didn't mean that as a truth and an absolute. As I understand it, as we travel our, before we join the, get under the group parasol or the group umbrella, or join the group, we're under our own, and we travel singular for a while. Mm-hmm. And on those travels, it's as if it's in a school, and maybe at that time I was given that spiritual third grade or spiritual second grade, I don't know, spiritual kindergarten. If we learn these truths first until I can find a greater truth, say in spiritual fourth grade or fifth grade. No, I didn't mean that as an absolute, not by any means. It's something I heard a long while time ago. It made sense then.
Sure.
Just as a learning tool.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you make a lot of sense, of course. Of course, there are people in different levels and they accept a lot of teaching and they, just like, you want to become a doctor, you learn a lot of things at the end, you discard them and then you become a specialist in one field or you a lot of things you learn, you might not even ever draw a picture anymore or a doctor, but you learn how to draw. That's true. We learn a lot of things in the past that later on we discard them. But this is the time to, it's the time for sundering. This is the time for the elect to come, and for the elect, our teaching just completely overcome and goes beyond anything separates man from man. It's not the highest. So that is probably the good guideline for all of us. If there is somebody saying the teaching that separates people from people, it probably is not the level of doctor degree. It's in the 8th grade or 9th grade or all that. And so it's wonderful that all these people are interested in the mission, in the God and his revelation, but I think the process has been accelerated in a greater degree, and those who see this and they have been in this path, was that you heard this and now you hear this, and you say, well, really what I heard before is not as great a truth that this is now. So you probably can go back and tell those that you knew in the past and bring in with you to the higher level. Just like Livingston Seagull, that he found the golden, seagulls, and then he said, okay, now I go back to the regular seagulls and tell them, what you do is not the highest. Come with me, I'll show you how you can become the master or eagle, and you can fly faster than any bird or anything. So, you're absolutely right, but probably it's good for you if you accept this teaching, if you saw the truth in it, probably you can go back and bring more seagulls to fly with us together and become eagles. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Thank you. And
Revelation, St. John talks about the 144 elected and the people which wash the old clothes in the blood of the Lamb of God. What does he actually mean by that? Washing the old clothes in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, if we study the, if you read the Bible, you see that God created man and woman, man, and then of course man was both male and female, and then he separated them to man and woman, and then of course attraction of the external world and the Maya, and then temptation made them not to follow God's rules and God's law. And therefore, the moment they become egoistical, and they said, well, we will become God ourselves by doing what God said not to do, and therefore they failed, and that failing, of course, we can see it exists in human existence, and human life, and society, and world, and people are following the temptation, and the Maya, and they have fallen from the grace, and still they demand the grace. But demanding the grace, you don't get the grace by demanding it, but by following the law of God. And therefore, you can see that failing is an internal, it is internal in human being because the balance of the creation was went out of the balance, and ego evolves, and ego is self-centered, and wants everything themselves, they are not willing to give and become sacrificial as Christ became. Therefore, in the Garden of Eden, God took the grace, and the only way you could appease the grace back was with the blood. That is why you can see the symbolic of the Passover is to kill the lamb, and the blemished lamb, innocent lamb, the best lamb you have, and you put the blood around the entrance of your home, and therefore the disaster will pass you over and it won't touch your home. So the redemption was with the blood of the lamb, and then Moses brought elaborate sacrificial way of washing the sin from the community. And after Christ came, he was that on the blemished lamb, and he sacrificed himself, and his blood was shed, and that was his mission. Actually, he did not want to accept the mission in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he felt, God, can you take this cup from me? And God, of course, he realized right away that is not the way. He should be surrendered and sacrificed and surrendered to the will of God, and said, no, your will be done, not mine. And he went through the crucifixion, and the crucifixion was the symbolic of that lamb was killed, and therefore from then on we can see that nobody did a lot of elaborate sacrifice of the lambs anymore. It was taken away, and Christ brought the grace back to humanity. Therefore Christ is a symbol of the return of the Christ, of the grace to man, and those who follow the law of God will receive the grace of God easily and in abundance. But he had to sacrifice. But at the end of the time in the Revelation that you are reading, this we don't have to do that anymore. That's what I was saying. God created the internet, so they cannot crucify me. They cannot throw a stone on me. Actually, those people who are crucifying me, some people ask them, would you crucify my Savior if you had your hand on them? Nobody answered. Probably the answer, if they are silent, is they would. Okay? But of course, they cannot, because what can you do in a computer? So, in this time, it is not supposed to be like that. There is not supposed to be any crucifixion, but it is the kingdom. It is the children of the God who will become the kings of on earth and will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. So this time the call is not to blood be shed, but the blood being clean from his garment, and he does not need to be crucified as it was before. So that is the meaning of that verse. Go ahead, Akiman.
Can you say Jesus Christ is come in the flesh?
Well, what difference does it make if I tell you that or not? The only thing I can tell you is, go see the prophecies are fulfilled. The seven seals is open. The book with the seven seal is revealed. The lion of the tribe of the Judah has returned. The Sayyid from the lineage of the Prophet Muhammad is here. The seventh seal makes sense and reveals the path that God wants us to follow, and it is your guidance. You come to your own conclusion. What do I need to tell you if there is all this, just like they were asking Christ, are you Christ? And said, well, when you see that in the evening, the sky is red, you will see there is going to be rain. When you see the end time is here, all the prophecies are fulfilled, all the scriptures are fulfilled. As I said, go to the website, see what prophecies are fulfilled. Is it the seventh seal open? Is all the mystery of God is given? Are all the religions are unified? You have to come to the conclusion yourself. It doesn't make any difference if I say yes or no. If you already made your mind, I am not who you think I am, you would say, okay, no, you're wrong, and you're saying it, what you're saying is correct. But if you make it yourself, and you come to the conclusion, oh yeah, look at this, this all are fulfilled, then you say, yes, I have no choice, he is the one. Okay? Therefore, again, I guide you to make the decision yourself. I guide everyone. Actually, that is the best. Don't listen to me at all. Don't listen to anyone, for that matter. Go, search, not ask, and then come to the conclusion. If you come to the conclusion, no, I'm wrong, great, you go your way, I'll go my way, and we will see who is the correct one. And that's one of the things amazes me of these people, that they come to our room and rudely, interrupt us. My thinking is, why do they do that? If they believe their God is real God, why are they afraid of anything? They should say, okay, I believe in my God and I trust in God. I don't care what anybody says, because anything is not godly is not going to manifest anyway. Why do they do that? It's just beyond my comprehension why such a people even exist, that they come and they say that they're godly. God, they're the children of God, the chosen one. How can they be if they do not trust the God enough to leave us to God? Okay. So, we leave you to God, and you leave us to God, and go and study and come to your conclusion. And that is the best way to do this. Go ahead, Lou.
In the explanation of the prophecies of Daniel, the tablet 5, verse 4, you said that could you please explain when you say that the host of heaven will be cast down and be trampled under?
Yeah, well, the hosts of heaven are the God and his hierarchy and his revelation and truth, that is the spirit and his infusion and is in the scriptures and have come from God and given to humanity. Of course, they were partial. Every revelation to this point was a part of a greater truth, as we have been talking about it all day. And but they had a lot of truth in them until the intellectual domination around 2,300 years ago come to earth and eventually become dominating force on earth. Actually, intellectualism has become a religion by itself, and it's some people that intellect is superior. So that is why they trampled and brought down the truth of God to earth. And therefore, we can see this intellectualization continue to this point. And again, that's another sign of the end of time. We do not oppose intellectualism, but it has a limit. Intellect has a limit. Yet it can go so far. When it gets to the spirit, it completely can't go any farther. And that is why there are great intellectuals like Einstein. He eventually comes to the conclusion there is an order in the universe. There is something beyond our intellectual understanding of the universe. There is some spirit there, and therefore he concludes that intellect is not the ultimate thing on earth. But there are many people that believe that intellect is superior, and religions are, of course, I don't blame them, because most of the people who follow religions are emotional. They're not very, logical in many times, and they just say, you have to have faith in this mission. Yes, you have to have faith, but at the same time, your faith can be, based on the intellect and intelligence. And as I said, you want to know God exists? God said he's going to do this as he did. Intellectually and from an intelligent point of view, you have to say, I have no choice but accept God exists. Now, I don't understand it intellectually. I'm trying to understand God, but you cannot understand God intellectually. You have to experience God. You have to have a relationship with God. You have to directly know God. That is something nobody can intellectually explain. How many people try to explain God intellectually? They still haven't. Somebody used to tell me that if the whole universe become papers, and all trees and everything else become pen, and the whole ocean become ink, and if you start writing about who God is, at the end they're finished and all the pens are broken and the ocean are dry, we haven't even started saying it. So intellectually you cannot explain God. You have to experience God. That experience, direct experience, is beyond intellect, and nobody teaches it. Go to any school. Do they teach to meditate, have inner spiritual forces, to have a direct relationship with God and experience Him? No, they don't. They say, no, illogical. That is not logical what you're saying. Oh, sit there and meditate and experience God. What are you talking about? Oh, God. Oh, okay, that thing. Okay, and the moment you talk about God to someone, some people, especially in the world of education, they say, oh, you are one of those. Oh, you talk about God. But in our teaching, it's very very intelligent way of explaining God that exists. Therefore, now, that's another thing unified. Intellect is unified with the spirit here in the mission. And you can be intellectual, but at the same time realize your intellect has a limit. To this point, intellect was bringing down the correct intuition of understanding of God down, and that is what that verse means. Go ahead, Dr. Mom.
I didn't think to be rude or anything. You asked what purpose would it serve, and it just makes me feel better. It's really safe. And the Bible says that, I guess you'd be aware of the verse, that no spirit is not of God, because Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. So that's all. You make me and maybe some others make you feel a little better just to hear you say it. I don't agree with you, right? Just make some people feel better to hear you say those words.
No, Altima, I didn't say you were rude, not at all. I wasn't directing that to you at all. I was directing to other people who come to our room and do those things. No, you were very nice, actually. And I appreciate the way you brought the question, and we can discuss it. You come to our room and be nice and bring this discussion. I don't mind at all discussing with you at all. I was talking about the other people who do that. Don't think about it. I didn't have the slightest bad feeling about you at all. So I'm sorry that you thought that I thought that you did something that wasn't kosher or anything. No, actually, it is true. We do believe that Christ came in flesh, that he was the Son of God, that whenever he was connected to God, he was God. Okay? So we are not, actually, we do not fulfill the saying of the New Testament that that we don't believe that Christ did not come in flesh, and therefore we are antichrist. That verse does not apply to us at all. And no, I did not think you said anything wrong at all. So I think that there's some misunderstanding there. Not at all. And I was just talking about some other people do that. Go ahead, Auntie Ben.
Okay. That's okay. But here you say those words, Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. They did come. It was really make me and the other people who just feel a lot better. Just to hear, that one sentence, if you reply, if you say that one thing, you just that one sentence, that would be it. It just really made me, some other people feel a lot better just to hear those exact words, just,
Okay, Isa did come in the flesh. Yes. Christ came in the flesh. He was a man by the name Isa, and he had the Spirit of God in him. He was the Messiah, the Son of God. Okay? And he fulfilled the prophecies of his coming, and we believe in that 100%. No doubt about it. I hope you feel better now. Text, go ahead.
Well, if God, there's an attribute of God saying that he never changes, and Christ is God in the flesh, then I noticed that you had mentioned a past tense element about Christ being in the flesh. You seem to denote a time element, but if God never changes and Christ is God in the flesh, then Christ is still himself and God also.
Okay, are we talking about Isa? Are we talking Christ as God himself? As I said, if you read our teaching, probably that question would have answered very easily. Christ in one time, he says he is the way, the truth, no one goes to the Father but through him. And another time, somebody called him to Rabbi, and he rebuked that person and says, there is nothing, no one is good but God. How can that happen? Okay, if he is God, how can he say that only God is good and he is not good? Therefore, there is a separation there. There's another question somebody asked some other time ago, that if Christ was God, who was he praying to? Okay. He was praying to the Father. There is a separation there. How could it be that if he's God, then he prays to another third person, and therefore there is a separation between the two? So there is a contradiction there, isn't it? One time he is the way, he is the Father, nobody goes to the Father but to him, he and the Father are one. Another time he prays to the Father and even says he's no good and God is good. Now, to this point, of course, nobody has been explaining this very correctly. We have been explaining this for the last 20 years. And those who are in the mission, they know the answer very well. Actually, I can ask one of them and they'll tell you exactly what it means and how it's explained. The explanation is that God is in the Spirit. God cannot come to man and say, here I am, and even he comes, probably almost 100% of humans can hear him, because they are not in the same wavelength and the same level than he is. That is why he prophesies of coming of the Messiah, of coming of the teacher, of the coming of the prophet, of coming of a person with a physical body. He is born from a woman, he raises like a regular person, but ultimately he manifests God's revelation to humanity, and he fulfills the prophecies that God has given about him. He is unique. You cannot find anyone else on earth as unique as this person. And that is how he is the mouthpiece of God. If he is not unique, he does not have fulfilled the prophecy, he cannot claim to have the word of God for humanity. And that's what Christ did. He fulfilled the prophecy. He was unique. But he was a man. The Spirit of God came through him. In that moment that the Spirit of God came through him, he and the Father were one. But in other times that he was a regular person and walking around and the Spirit of God was not upon him, he was no good. He was just like every other man in earth as every other man is. They are not good. They are not God. They are not godly. He had a lot of desires and attachments and all that. Of course, he was very high soul for sure that was chosen for God to come through him. So that's very simple that if we are talking about the Christ as a man, there is a time limit. He does not, he changes, he dies actually, you know, and ultimately even if raised again, you know, he eventually left the body and is a man. But if we're talking about the Christ as the times that God have came over him and through him, that God, of course, is his. Actually, if you read our teaching again, if you read our teaching, you would say, we say God is. Then put anything in front of is, he becomes. God is compassionate. God is love. God is whatever you put in front of him, God becomes it. So God was, is, will be forever. That God, that Christ in that sense is always being here and will be here forever. And that is, or God has a plan, or had a plan to send certain revelation to humanity, and each revelation had some part of the greater truth. Ultimately, this revelation all going to be put together as one revelation in the book sealed with the seventh seal, and that book has now been opened, and according to prophecy, no one can open that book but the Lion of the Tribe of the Judah. See again the uniqueness of the revelation, of the prophecy of God saying, if you have the slightest interest in the truth and what God says, that should be enough for you to realize this vessel, this revelation is the truth, and what comes out of his mouth is the word of God, and there is no separation between me and the Father, and no one goes to God, to the Father, but through me. So you can see the same words, the same expression, the same, but I'm a man. You see, I am a man, a regular man. And never happened in the whole human history, never ever a prophet came that he was not born from flesh and from a woman and did not come the way every prophet came. So, we have the truth and we have the dogmas. Get the dogmas after the truth and see the truth and see the word of God is being fulfilled here and now, and then say yes. Then I forget about my dogma and accept the truth, then we will see that we are one and we don't have anything to be, you know, arguing about. So that was the explanation. So how you see that Christ makes the word truth or not? Go ahead, ask your man.
Sorry, I have to keep coming up as the head of the microphone. I've been asking for the microphone. I know you said there's some other things in answer to my question, but I need to hear the exact words, just in one sentence. Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. Just be free, just the exact words, just that one sentence, you know, nothing else, just really those exact words.
No, you will not hear the exact words because his name never was Jesus. Okay? The name Jesus, I'm never going to confess Jesus came as God, ever. Because Jesus is, the word J come from the Hebrew, the Sanskrit, means victory. And you know that Hindu language or the Sanskrit is a part of Euro Indo-European language, and Latin come from Indo-European language, and in Sanskrit, J means victory, and Zeus, or the rest of the name, come from the name Zeus. So you, whenever you pray in the name of Jesus, actually you are praying in, you are praising Zeus, and you are professing that Zeus come in flesh as God. And that is not correct. His earthly name has been Isa. He's never been called Jesus. So you have to correct yourself first in his name before you can confess that he came as the Son of God. And he never came by the name Jesus. The name was changed after many things changed in the Christianity. And there's many things has been influenced with the Roman and Nordic teaching and European teaching before Christ in Christianity, but the purest form of Christianity, you know, is being revealed now into our teaching, and therefore his name has never been Jesus, and I will never ever confess that Jesus was the Son of God. But if you want to confess Isa was the Son of God, I will readily do that. But that was his name. Some people call him Yeshua. Actually, Yeshua is the corrupt name. Is the sacred name that cannot be pronounced. Yeshua is not his true name either. But Yeshua is a corrupt name, just like Yahweh. Yahweh is the corrupt name of the name of God. But both Yeshua and Yahweh, they are not his name. His true sacred name is revealed through the mission to those people who come and become a part of the mission and our work and show that they are truly here to manifest God's quality and do his will, and they will eventually receive the name of Father and the Son and will receive the Holy Ghost. So his name never was Jesus, and I, you beg me and please me, please say what you want me to say. I do the same thing to you. Go ahead and study and see that a lot of things that you believe is dogma. The truth is that his name is not Jesus. His name is Isa. Get rid of the dogmas and forget about everything but those red writing of Christ and read our teaching. Actually, the only Bible probably I recommend is the Jefferson's Bible. That has given rid of a lot of dogma in it, and read the Jefferson's Bible and believe on that. Probably it will be much better for your soul and for your salvation than believing in things that have no truth in them and then insisting other people to follow the wrong, you know, teaching. Go ahead, Ramos.
Hey, got a question. It's funny too, you just mentioned, you seem to, I've read a little about you, your website and everything, and you want to synthesize the world's religions. Where does paganism fit into this, if it does at all?
Yes, I am not going to synthesize anything. I'm just a revealer of the truth. And what am I saying? God has already synthesized it. God has already knew each of these religions are part of the greater truth. Where the pagans and fall into this teaching, pagans also believe in meditation and regular spiritual forces. The only problem is pagans direct the energy they gain through those practices toward the world. You know, they direct it externally, okay, instead of internalize it and bring internal salvation. And therefore they externalize it through the gaining material world. Therefore, my suggestion to them is direct that energy internally, follow the eternal divine path, see our teaching, what you do is okay. Meditation is okay. You know, incantation for helping the community, you know, in a sense that is God's will is okay. But if you replace your will in order, in place of God's will, then you are misusing the energy that God has given to you, and you are using it to gain worldly, material thing, which is not the goal of life. The goal of life is to become divine, and to become divine means to become godly, become compassionate, loving, understanding, seeker of the truth, get rid of the dogmas, understand what God's will is, and what His plans are, and follow that. Therefore, pagans can become a part of the mission if they realize that they have to follow eternal divine path and create the communities of life, sacrifice for it, surrender, submission, the result of them becoming universalists. But meditation and that part are accepted. Go ahead, Buffalo.
Okay. On September 9th, after the World Trade Center event took place, I was walking down the street and I was asking about that. And I heard a voice just as clearly as I heard yours. And that voice said, no event takes place in this universe. No thing takes place in this universe without my approval. Well, it stopped me dead in my tracks, and I looked around to see if anybody else heard it. So then I started wondering about that. And what was coming to me was the results of it. Is that it was pulling people together just to say the word God, if nothing else, to get them to pray. Are my conclusions in error of getting the country to pull together, getting people to pull together, and getting a lot of people just to speak the word God? Are my conclusions in error in that?
Yeah, well, it's a saying that when God bless human, it says it is our doing. And when God brings the disaster to them, he said, God, please help us. That is the nature of man, that they do not remember God when they are, you know, happy and everything is okay going. And that is exactly what Christ said, you know, that it's easier for a camel to go through the needle of a hole of a needle and for a, you know, a man who has everything can go to God. And actually, another saying is that God loves those who God loves, He makes them poor. You know, because they always think about, oh God, help us, please, we don't have anything to, you know, to be thankful for. And that is amazing after that people start talking about God. The word of God wasn't that bad anymore, or something that, you know, the people look still at you, oh, you are one of those. you are true, you are right, that is true. The disaster brings a spiritual connection to humanity. God wish it wasn't like that. Actually, God loves those, they remember Him in prosperity. When they are rich and high and they are, don't need Him, and still they say, yes, God, thank you for being with us, and that all thanks go to you. And you are absolutely correct. Nothing happens in this universe without His approval. Not a small thing. A small thing He probably let go. Big thing that He has a plan. As I said, He has a plan. If everybody come tonight, they will have the kingdom tomorrow. But if they do not, He will take us there. Okay? And one of the things, of course, you know, disasters and things might happen for humanity, and they eventually realize they have no choice but come together. Okay? And I know, you know, when we win in something, we think, you know, it's going to be over. It's not going to be over. You know, God's plan is different. God's plan is to bring humanity together and unify them. Here it is. That's what He's saying in this revelation, that He wants human eventually to realize there is one humanity, one world, one God. They have to come together and feel each other's pain. Okay? Realize that the pain in another part of the world is your pain. You cannot say, oh, I have nothing to do with it. I have my thing here, I'm okay, I will be fine, I don't care. You can't do that. If you know God, God is everything. Therefore, the pain of every man and a woman is your pain. That's what a godly person is. And that is what human takes. God is taking humanity to realize that we are one humanity, one God, and one earth. And, of course, they also has created the universe and the space. And if human reaches space, there are infinite resources out there. And that the standard of living of every man and woman on earth is going to be even greater than we even have here in the West. Okay? So God has given us every, but He wants us to remember Him even in prosperity. He wants to remember us our goal. Okay? For instance, there is part of our teaching. There is a destiny for United States. Okay? It's been, God has given them destiny to the nation. It's wonderful. They have brought a lot of people together from all cultures, and they're getting along fine. Can we create the whole earth to do that? Okay, and we can see the plan is for humanity to understand this thing. So you can see that there is a goal for humanity to reach to, and now we are telling them what it is. Okay, and humanity have to either listen to this or go against it. If they listen to this, the kingdom will come very soon. If they don't, then more disaster is going to come. I'm sorry to say. Okay. So this is the beginning. The human has a choice. They choose it today. More people come join the mission. More we can get creative comes of life going. More we can show the humanity that, yes, there is God and there is a purpose for it. The sooner we can bring the kingdom of heaven, the sooner we can avoid disaster. The more they resist it, the more they keep their target, the more we get our egos and separation and distraction, the more destruction is going to come. It is not going to end. It is, for the last 6,000 years, haven't humanity learned a lesson? The war does not finish. No war is the last war. There is going to be another war, another war, another war. The only way is the God's way. The only way is the eternal divine path. The only way is the invocation of our vision. The only way to see God's revelation and come together. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes. In thought, you said that the angel Gabriel is the decision maker. And I want to ask a question concerning him. I noticed that he always, the angel Gabriel, he came to Zacharias to announce John's birth, and he came to Mary to announce Jesus' birth, and he also came to Daniel. But I didn't realize that he also came to Moses on Mount Sinai. Is this correct? I thought it was the father himself.
Okay, probably you are talking about the angel as a being with wings coming down to human and talk to them. That is possible. There are people that they need a manifestation, external manifestation, to believe that God is giving them His word and telling them a message. Like a prophet Muhammad sees the angel Gabriel come to him and tell him that he should read. And of course, he was an illiterate person and couldn't read. And he said, "I can read." And Gabriel said, "No, read." And then he said, "I can read." And Gabriel said, "Read again," and he started revealing the revelation from God, and of course later on brought Quran. And also we can see that Daniel also sees angels come to him, because they need angels to believe in God. But really, angels are a manifestation of God to make that person believe in that revelation and that message. In reality, angels are the forces, or the three creative forces in the universe. And the sattva guna is sattva, or the more subtle force in the universe, is Gabriel. The raja guna, or the movement or energy, is Michael. Always Michael was the one that that conquers and walk barrier and has a lot of energy. And Tamaguna, which crudifies everything and creates the universe and make us crude and tempt us and become attached to the world and we fall into the Maya, is Lucifer, which is also the angel of light. It means that if you realize God and the emptiness of the Maya, the very Maya becomes a light in your path. You realize, I don't want to get attached to this world. This is just a temporary thing. And therefore, I want to go to something that's permanent. And what is permanent? God is permanent. Everything else is temporary. And therefore, the very Lucifer, or devil, as many people know him, becomes the guiding light toward overcoming the external world and going toward God. So they have to realize that Gabriel really is not a person. He is an energy that is a subtler energy to the sentient energy in the universe. And when sentient energy is affected with the Rajaguna, it becomes the Holy Ghost. And as we meditate and we more become sattvic or subtle, we realize subtle energies and we can know more and more about the will of God for us, okay, and what God wants us to do, and that is how we follow our call. So that is why when this revelation comes to these people, they see a person, but in reality, is that energy or Holy Ghost which brings this revelation to them and reveal to them. But if he had done it that way, they would not realize it. In my case, you know, the realization was subtle, was very deep, and no doubt about the source of it, but I did not see a person, you know, as an angel with a wing or whatever comes and tell me what to do. But of course, revelations come from the Holy Ghost, which is the subtle energy or sattva guna activated with the energy rajaguna. And we go again, we do not talk about angels as a being. Actually, anything has a form, shape, sound, name. Anything has a manifestation, is not ultimate. Don't get attached to them. Okay? Anything has a form, shape. If it's not formless, nameless, invisible, and eternal, it is not God. It is not the ultimate. That's what it's very similar to what Buddha said. You know, the ultimate goal is Nirvana. Nirvana doesn't have any form, shape, sound. Some people say it's nothingness, but really, that's not correct. It is beyond senses. Okay? When you reach beyond senses, then you are into consciousness. As well as you see angels and you're attached to the physical thing, or you're looking for a heaven with the water underneath and the companion with the wide eye, still you are looking at a manifestation. It is not ultimate. Ultimate has no creation attribute. Go ahead, Brad.
I had some observations. I was going to ask if they were correct or not, and as I wrote them down in the paper, you answered most of them. That means a lot. I've had an observation on the formless, infinite, nameless, and eternal, that we have the commandment of not having a graven image. And my thought was that Jesus said that what was born of the flesh was flesh, and what was born of the spirit was spirit. And so I think that having even the image or the flesh of Christ, or the idea that you're worshiping the flesh, but you just talked about that, you know, that was the, if I was correct in that observation, I think you answered that we should worship the spirit behind the flesh, and that we shouldn't hold that physical body, because that physical body will pass. And I was going to ask if I was correct in that observation, but I think you just answered that question as I was writing it down.
Yeah, you are correct on that, absolutely. And actually, Christ, the prophets, and all those are messengers, come bring us a message and guide us to God. They are the bridge between us and God. What happens if they are bridged to, we are going to God, and then they suddenly stop the bridge and say, such a beautiful bridge, look at this, it is such a nice, it has created like this, and the engineer put it like that, and this is calculated like that. We never get over the bridge. We just got stuck in the bridge. And that's exactly here with the mission too. I don't want to be attached to me and make a big thing out of me and then get the message. The most important thing is the message. If there is a respect or love or anything for me, because it's the message, you know, otherwise I am another man among all men. And absolutely you're correct, and we have to concentrate on the message, not on the messenger. Go ahead, Ramos.
Okay, there we go. I got cut off there for a second. But, okay, magic. I'm a ceremonial magician. If I go into a room regularly, what people consider normal people, tell them I do magic, make them uncomfortable, some people downright get afraid, offense. What's your opinion on magic? I'm not asking if it's right or wrong. I'm just asking your personal opinion.
What kind of magic do you do?
Ceremonial magic, white, gray. Black magic, by definition, is to force your will on someone else. I don't know if you know anything about magic or how much you know about it, but I can find your spirits. There's different things, different types of spirits, as Solomon did, which a lot of people don't know.
Okay, well, as I said, you know, even God doesn't force his will on humans and on beings. Therefore, I can right away say, you know, don't force your will on anyone, because you will create karma, bad, bad karma, by doing that, because it is against the will of the universe. The choice is the greatest thing humanity has. You have the choice to go to God, you have the choice not to go to God. You have the choice to be in this mission, you have the choice not to be. That's why I say, this is not a cult. A cult forced their will on the follower. They say, okay, if you go, you're going to go to them. They're going to eat you up. You're going to be destroyed. This. Of course, they have a point. Because if you don't go to God, you are going to fall to Maya. Okay, for sure. But that is forcing the will and eventually, you know, keeping the, you know, the members under control, and that become a cult, and the person become more important than the message he brought to them, and eventually, of course, they will be destroyed, because that is not a good thing. Okay, magic, if magic means, as I said, to the manipulate the energy and power of the universe and use it for the selfish person, I have to tell you, that's a very dangerous thing you are doing, and that's going to affect you very badly. And I recommend that not to do it at all. Actually, that was the thing they were doing before the flood of Noah. Human was not as much flesh as they are now, and they were more in the spirit that they are now. Actually, they could extract the life force and live for a long time, energy. And that's God in the life. That brought destruction to them, and the flood of Noah came and destroyed those people. Therefore, anything that manipulates the energy, anything that brings the energy which is not according to the will of God or in the universe, and the free will is one of them, is not accepted. So, if you're asking me, I recommend to stop. Stop. Come and follow eternal divine path. Join the communities of light, meditate, direct your energy toward the creation of the communities of light, sacrifice for it, surrender and submit to God, and become a universalist. That's my answer. I don't know if you, that's the answer you wanted to hear, but that is the truth. Well, Mr. Hubbard.
The resolve between these two people, the Islamists and the Christians, one say Jesus was crucified, the Christians say he was. So the Islamic position is, not only wasn't he crucified, but he did not rise from the dead 3 days later. And that sounds like such a dilemma to me. How does one resolve these two great religions having this major difference in their beliefs? The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus was the cornerstone of Christian belief. Thank you.
Yes, I suppose that you were in this room in the early this morning. We went through the crucifixion one room before. I say that I would believe the later prophets more than the former, and usually the prophets come to purify the religions and bring the correction in what has been changed by man, as we were discussed before. The crucifixion of Christ is very controversial. There are many, many stories that have been told and accepted. Some people even believe that say there wasn't such a thing as Christ, because historically there is not such a figure ever been recorded, or some people say very few places is recorded, but it is not really that prominent. Of course, there is a the monastery in India, that they claimed that Christ was with them, and then he was crucified and all that. I mean, now, was he crucified? Again, the crucifixion seems to be accepted with everybody, that he really was put on the cross. Did he die when he was put on the cross? That is where the controversy comes from. Some people believe he did not die, and as the Quran says, it seemed to them he died. Also, it was a Christian. They don't believe Christ died. They say he did not die. And also, one of my brother today was telling us that some people believe Christ even was, you know, he died in India, and you can find his grave there, and even Pope knows about that, but nobody else knows. See, there's a lot of way of explaining it and controversy about it. The most important, as I said to that brother, is what's his message? You know, was that is important about the Christ and any prophets. We have to look at the message. If the message makes sense, if it is truth, and if the prophet has fulfilled the prophecy and what he says makes sense, then he is a prophet of God. Of course, you say you are an atheist, you don't believe in God, which is okay. I myself was in your shoes in the beginning, you know, because I don't think you don't believe really in God, you don't believe in the religions that presented God to you. I recommend you read our teaching, and you see God said he will do things, and he did it. And if he did it, in your logical atheist mind, should accept that if somebody says they do something and they do, they therefore exist. Then I recommend you see how God said he does this thing, and he did it, and I hope you eventually realize, yeah, God exists, and you will not be atheist anymore. Our teaching is very logical. I appreciate all your questions, and I will be here again next week. And believe me, it is very logical teaching, and I love to have atheists, agnostics, religion. Actually, I think there are some of them even closer to God than those that believe in it. They are in their traditional religion, and they just accepted the dogma as the truth. And I did not. That is why I am here. I did not accept the dogmas, and I rejected God because they presented to me was not a logical God. Therefore, if you are logical, if you are called for this mission, if you in your spirit want to know the truth, you are always welcome here. I appreciate your candid and very nice discussion we had together. I hope many, many people like you come to our room all the time, and we will have good discussion. Even if you don't believe me, I think you do believe me, at least, you know, I try. Salam, everyone. See you next week.